Assalamu alaikum, dear viewers. Hello and welcome to another episode of Weekly Scoop. I am Rahshan Saglam and I will be your host today. Today we have as a guest our journalist, the Lebanese journalist, Bassam Kontar. Hello and welcome to our show.
Thank you.
Just like every week, dear viewers, we are going to take a few articles and dig deep into those articles. But before we do that, we are going to headlines of the week. Let's see the headlines this week. This week's headlines start with Al-Akhbar. Escape from hell, Lebanese among victims of migrant boat disaster. Hamas in severe economic crisis with political solution. The Wall Street Journal. Weapons watchdog says Syria is cooperating. Deadly bomb hits Pakistan. A bomb ripped through a busy marketplace in the northwest Pakistan city of Peshawar on Sunday. U.S. aims to ease doubt on Iran talks. Press TV website mentioned, Susan Rice regime change U.S. objective in Syria. Israel's Netanyahu heads to U.S. to tell truth on Iran. Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu heads to the United States to persuade President Barack Obama that stepped up sanctions. UN inspectors to finalize site inspections in Syria. Jordan responds to Syria border bombing. Al-Bawaba said, Iraqi suicide bomber kills 25 at funeral. Okay, Bassam Kontar, we are going to start with the New York Times, which published kind of a map of the new Middle East map, what they called how five countries could become 14 countries. Would a division be happening in the Middle East amid the revolutions that we're witnessing?
Well, the first remark is that this is not the first article of its kind speaking about dividing and splitting and re-regulating the map of the Middle East in general. But this report, I've noticed that it was very well shared and
On social media,
On social media, and people were linking between such a reports and the new trend of the Western media on speaking among what we call here the conspiracy theory related to how the West and even some regional key players in the region are willing or aiming to divide certain territories or certain countries. Speaking about a new maps, this is something now the major factor related to the new maps is unfortunately related to the sectarian division where we can find the hot zones. We are speaking about Syria for sure. We are speaking about Yemen and also for sure Lebanon is part of the whole clashes that's happening. But speaking about a division under any new plan or map is something related to a sectarian division, as I've said.
This is what the article or the footage that were placed in the New York Times was kind of specific and about the Sunni and Shiite Alawite areas. I'm going to read a little bit what was written. It was written that the first area is going to be Alawite, a minority that has controlled Syria for decades, dominant a coastal corridor, yani, which means that Alawites are going to be at the coastal line of Syria. So this minority that as mentioned by the New York Times, it was controlling Syria. It will be at the coastal line of Syria. And the second one is going to be a Syrian Kurdistan, which could break off and eventually merge with the Kurds of Iraq. And we know that the Kurds in Iraq has their own territory and that has their own rules, has their own president maybe, and they already have their territory and they are kind of separate from Iraqis. So those areas they mentioned in the map, Syria, Iraq, Saudi Arabia, Yemen, and Libya, that they are going to be divided. Libya is going to be divided to three or four parts. Saudi Arabia is going to be divided to a Sunni part, Shiite part, and the Sunni part is going to merge with the Sunnis of Yemen. And Yemen is going to be divided again to two parts, which is South Yemen and North Yemen. Iraq will be divided to three parts, Sunni, Shiite, and Kurds that will be merging with the Kurds in Syria. And of course, Iran is untouched. So what do you think about this classification that five countries are going to be 14 countries? Would that happen?
I think that let's speak on among geopolitics. Mm-hmm. Dominant countries and key players in the region, they prefer to deal with the big country, not with a mm-hmm. lot of small countries. Maybe the public consider that when we have a small country, a weak leadership, maybe for the dominant countries would be easier mm-hmm. To deal with. My point of view is different. I think that usually when we are speaking about a country where you have a lot of oil resources and gas resources, mm-hmm. usually dominant countries prefer to deal with the
with one
United mm-hmm. government. Mm-hmm. That is a pro certain
but
dominant
doesn't
country.
This map kind of match what Condoleezza Rice said in 2004 about the new Middle East? Or it doesn't have any relation with this?
This is something that they have been speaking about since the 80s. Mm-hmm. This is not something new. But at the end, is it a matter of drawing a map or is mm-hmm. it a matter on splitting people on ground? What's the meaning of a country with the borders that it is very clear on the map and mm-hmm. you have a sectarian division, a social division, an ethnical division? Mm-hmm. This is the real divisions. The real unity is the social unity, is the mm-hmm. political unity, is the economical unity.
In the 60s and the division, and 70s, we used to speak about unity, the unity of Arab world and the unity of Syria, what we call the greater Syria. But now we cannot speak about unity anymore because each country has its own problem and has its sectarian problems.
Yeah, that's the issue. If the issue of dividing mm-hmm. countries is related to a referendums mm-hmm. for the people on demands. This is something that I think that we should believe in and we should accept because mm-hmm. it would be the people's will and the citizens' will. Mm-hmm. But now we are speaking about a division based on the funding civil wars, mm-hmm. on funding a certain sect against other sects. On trying to re-emerging mm-hmm. the dreams of a lot of small ethnical minorities mm-hmm. That they consider that they need their own state. Mm-hmm. The only real historical division is actually in Yemen. Mm-hmm. We can consider a historical division there.
And there were already two countries and they were merged into one.
But speaking about Libya, you can directly speak about the controlling of the three mm-hmm. main tribes mm-hmm. in mm-hmm. Libya, and you can directly divide mm-hmm. if you want to speak on a division based on tribes.
So Libya might be divided because of the clashes that we're witnessing
now. I think now, mm-hmm. on the ground,
it is already divided. But not politically. Yes. And Yemen, as per the New York Times, it says that due to the referendum, if a referendum occurred in South Yemen, people in South Yemen are calling for to regain the independence once again, the independence that they once had in the 90s. So Yemen could be divided, which is something that it needs time maybe, or a UN resolution. And Libya could be divided. But when it comes to Saudi Arabia, this could be kind of not real, because Saudi Arabia, where the clashes or where the revolution is going, is in Qatif. It's in a small area in Saudi Arabia, and it is for a minority of Shiite.
I think the case of Saudi Arabia is related to the ruling family.
Mm-hmm.
If there is any kind of future division, it is based on the ruling family,
mm-hmm.
and the fight and the competition to
mm-hmm.
rule after and for electing any new king. This
Don't
is the major
mm-hmm.
problem that Saudi Arabia may face in the future, based on how much the people will be loyal for any new appointed king.
For example, if we have division in Iraq, a Sunni area, a Shiite area, and a Kurdish area, don't you think that clashes would calm down in Iraq, and we won't be witnessing more bombings in Iraq?
For sure not. Because
mm-hmm.
bombing is not related to the division. No one is now who are doing these terrorist attacks
mm-hmm.
in Iraq. Even them, they are not announcing that they are leading a national liberation
mm-hmm.
movement.
Mm-hmm.
They are doing this due to the funds that they are getting from
mm-hmm.
a lot of key players in the region, that they want unstable Iraq,
mm-hmm.
Considering that the instability in Iraq is the instability in Iran and instability in Syria,
mm-hmm.
and this is their major target.
Mm-hmm.
And all when you stop funding those people, the peace will be upon
okay.
all the Iraqi territory.
We have already the Kurds, they already have their own territory in Iraq, and now we have the Kurds in Syria, they're defending their territory. Do you think that Kurds in Syria are going to reach a point where they are going to declare liberation and declare a liberation movement over there?
Speaking again
mm-hmm.
about geopolitics, there was a very tragic picture of the Kurdish community in Syria
mm-hmm.
that they were migrating from their land
mm-hmm.
and there was an open corridor for them to reach Kurdistan
mm-hmm.
In Iraq. This is something that I think is a big crisis
mm-hmm.
for the people there. I think that the people are stick to their land and they live there since decades, and they know
mm-hmm.
very well the place. They are attached to it. My point of view is that such a minority in any new Syria
mm-hmm.
should gain all the rights and all a full citizenship.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something that was part of the reconciliation
mm-hmm.
plan that the Syrian regime was announcing.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately now they are
mm-hmm.
between two fires.
Mm-hmm.
They from one point they were trying to be part of the Syrian opposition.
Mm-hmm.
I remember very well in 2011 there was a lot of British efforts to unite them,
mm-hmm.
But again they were splitted, and now you cannot speak about any one who is representing the,
mm-hmm.
the Kurdish in Syria.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we are going to move to the second article for today. We have the Jerusalem Post, and it is speaking about Rouhani's speech in the United Nations General Assembly. The title is Perez, Rouhani's Rhetoric Contradicts Iran's Reality. Do you think that what Rouhani said, the Iranian new elected president, said in the United Nations about the peaceful nature of Iran does not match the reality of Iran?
This is something that we are quoting now the Israelis,
mm-hmm.
and Israel, even if Iran will speak in a more clear way about their national strategies
mm-hmm.
and their vision to the region, the Israelis will continue their own propaganda against the
mm-hmm.
Islamic Republic of Iran. This is something related to their own benefits,
mm-hmm.
and they want the Islamic Republic to be shown as a terrorist country. This is something that they paid a lot of money
mm-hmm.
and they brainwashed a lot of people
mm-hmm.
Under this,
including their own people.
Yeah,
maybe.
For sure.
Mm-hmm.
And and for this, they are now again willing, I think, that after this very important visit for President Rouhani mm-hmm. to the United Nations. I think that the Israelis will gonna launch a big media campaign against Iran in the state and among the whole world.
Do you think that after the call between President Obama and President Rouhani, which is the first diplomatic interaction between the US and Iran after the revolution, the Iranian revolution, do you think that Israel is going to impose or is going to pressure Obama or Obama's administration to keep the sanctions on Iran, or do you think that the sanctions will make change or they may cancel those sanctions on Iran?
The whole issue of the Iranian US relationship is based on how much is Israel safe mm-hmm. between brackets from the US point of view, and it was very clear that the White House announced that they have been reporting and announcing that they already spoke with the Israeli leadership about this call before it happened. Mm-hmm. And this can give you a very clear indicator on the way that the White House is dealing with the any new relations or mm-hmm. ties with Iran. This ties is based for sure on a clear collaboration with the Israelis. Mm-hmm. And on the first item on the agenda is for sure the nuclear program of Iran. Mm-hmm.
Okay. The article also said, ahead of PM's meeting with Obama, President says Iran's intentions can only be tested by actions, not words. So they want to see actions from Iran. What kind of actions would the Israeli government want to see from Iran? To stop maybe the uranium?
For sure they want Iran to stop supporting resistant groups among mm-hmm. the region mm-hmm. in Lebanon and in Palestine, mm-hmm. and this is something that will for sure never happen, mm-hmm. because this is part of and a major issue, not only in the Iranian diplomacy. It is part of the major issue related to the Iranian people belief. Mm-hmm. This is something that no one can change, and no one is willing to change. Mm-hmm. And for sure, this is the main target of the Israelis when they are doing mm-hmm. their own propaganda.
Okay. We are going to continue the article saying that what Iranian President Hassan Rouhani said in his address to the UN General Assembly last week was based on a reality of lies. President Shimon Peres told a press conference at The Hague on Monday, adding that even as Rouhani was speaking, forces in Iran were at work creating nuclear bombs. So Israel is still accusing Iran of creating nuclear weapons and nuclear bombs, while President Rouhani assured that the enriching uranium has nothing to do with nuclear weapons. So Israelis do not believe what Rouhani said, and they are saying it is all about lies. When this Israeli-Iranian conflict, Cold War, if we can call it, is going to end?
It will never end, because they are not accepting the idea that a country which is totally independent, totally mm-hmm. sovereign, like the Islamic Republic of Iran, mm-hmm. is willing to do a peaceful program for their own energy. Mm-hmm. This is something that they use the word the bombs and the weapons, mm-hmm. but they know very well, and the UN agency, which is already monitoring the whole program, knows very well mm-hmm. that the whole system of this program is mm-hmm. based on an energy planets mm-hmm. in order to create energy and nothing else. Mm-hmm. They know this very well, but they are keeping this propaganda because I have said that this is something they paid billions of dollars mm-hmm. in order to let the people be convinced with. They brainwashed a lot of people around the world about this, and they are not willing to lose the battle. Just
this is what mainstream media, maybe propaganda, and the propagandas do.
Sure.
We've heard Lavrov, the Russian foreign minister, speaking about controlling the mass destructive weapon in the Middle East. Does this include controlling the mass destructive weapon of Israel? Because we've seen the UN opposing to put Israeli chemical weapon and biological nuclear also weapon under the control of United Nations.
This is something that the Russian diplomacy have been doing since a lot of time, even before the Syrian crisis mm-hmm. in 2011. This is a very general sentence that this Russian diplomacy have been repeating a lot mm-hmm. in all their statements in the UN and outside the UN.
But now we have the Syrian chemical weapon is going to be under the UN control.
I think that at least Russians they have the will and they must actually secure that if any ending for the Syrian crisis for the chemical mm-hmm. Weapons mm-hmm. in Syria, this should also include any chemical weapons in the region.
Mm-hmm.
And this is also and now we are not speaking about chemical weapons that it is only controlled by the regime, which mm-hmm. is very well known mm-hmm. and there is maps for it.
We've seen chemical weapons being owned
now,
by oppositions.
Now there is a lot of reports and some of them have been confirmed mm-hmm. by the UN that some of these weapons have been smuggled to Syria and mm-hmm. they are now controlled by the armed groups.
We've already seen that the armed groups in Syria and terrorist groups have used sirens before in Aleppo and in a lot of, areas in Syria, and the Turkish government knew about this but didn't do anything or didn't investigate further about this matter. Why is that? Is the Turkish government involved in arming or maybe giving or supporting the oppositions with chemical weapons?
There is no concrete evidence mm-hmm. about this, but for sure the Turkish government is involved a lot in arming the Syrian armed mm-hmm. groups, especially in Aleppo and in the whole area that it is very near to mm-hmm. the Turkish borders, the Syrian-Turkish borders. Speaking about the sarin, I think that when the Syrian regime will ask for the unofficial visit for the UN investigative committee mm-hmm. in order to investigate the using of chemical weapons in Syria, this is a very clear evidence that it's not the regime mm-hmm, that used mm-hmm. the chemical weapons, and we are speaking about three or four major mm-hmm. Documented accidents in Khan Sheikh and two
Asal
other
and
sorry
other.
Khan al-Asal mm-hmm. and two other areas.
Mm-hmm. Okay, this is leading us to our third article for today. It is from today's Zaman, the Turkish journal. It says Davutoğlu disappointed by UN Security Council resolution. Foreign Minister Ahmet Davutoğlu has expressed his deep disappointment with the resolution on Syria anonymously adopted by the UN Security Council, as it made no reference to the humanitarian crisis in Syria. So how does the resolution of the United Nations affect the Syrian humanitarian crisis that is happening in Syria? As per Davutoğlu, he is not satisfied with the UN resolution of putting the chemical weapon under the control of the UN. What does the government of Turkey want?
I think that it is not only the government of Turkey. We are, as I've witnessed in the way that I call them the Troika, mm-hmm. that they are dealing now in the negotiation inside the UN, especially in New York and in Geneva, because mm-hmm. in New York that there is the Security Council and the for sure the General Assembly, and in Geneva mm-hmm. there is the Human Rights Council, and mm-hmm. all those three major meetings for the UN are dealing with the Syrian crisis. Mm-hmm. The Troika is consisted of Turkey, Qatar, mm-hmm. and Saudi Arabia. Mm-hmm. They were always lobbying for a very, very tough resolution against the Syrian regime in any way, and in all the issues related to the humanitarian intervention, mm-hmm. even membership in some cultural organization in the UN. The same lobbying was happening to weaken, and the target is to weaken the Syrian regime mm-hmm. and not allowing it to be part of any international negotiations or any international agencies.
So what
speaking about the latest UN Security Council, for sure the Turkish government was willing,
not going to be satisfied.
Was willing for this resolution to be under Chapter 7 mm-hmm. and as an introduction to for the Syrian regime and the Syrian president to step down.
Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, our time is up. We wanted to dig into this article more, but maybe another time we are going to speak about the Turkish government and and its aims in Syria. Journalist Wassam Kuntal, thank you so much for joining us and for the great info you just gave
thank
us.
You.
Dear viewers, our time is up. Thank you for watching, and I'll see you next week.